Going In Raw is now a CastBox original. CastBox is the fastest growing, highest rated podcast app on both iOS and Android, where you can find all your favorite podcasts. You can still listen to Going In Raw wherever you get your podcasts, but we hope you'll give CastBox a shot. We think it's the best.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you can be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. And available wherever fine podcasts are, be sure to hit the subscribe button and the little notify bell next to it if you want to be notified of new Going In Raw content every day, sometimes twice a day. Also, if you're listening to this on a podcast app, be sure to leave us a rating or a review. It always helps boost the profile of Going In Raw. If we have a new partnership with CastBox, we're very excited about
it. Yes.
Leave a comment if you're checking us out on CastBox.
Yes, please.
Another great way to support Going In Raw is simply by checking out the CastBox app. It's a fantastic way to listen to your podcast. Super clean design.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody that I've talked to really, really likes it, including myself.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
And including you.
Yeah.
Great. We're also available at Patreon, patreon.com/Steven Larson. A variety of reward tiers in exchange for money.
Uh-huh.
You get goods and services. Capitalism, Larson. It's a fantastic thing.
Can you put on the screen what they get? Or is that not available?
Oh, yeah. Look at that. Woo! Friendo Care Package, $20. All you need is one $20
only one
pledge.
Only one.
And for that month that you've pledged the $20, not only do you get to submit four Matt Chat video questions if you want to be on Matt Chat on our Sunday show, plus you get the Friendo Care Package, a comic book, stickers, a poster where you get to choose between the obvious choice, Mecha Santa.
No, no.
On the other side is Top Notch, but why would anybody want to choose that?
That is in his name. He's Top Notch. He's super best.
And a signed postcard.
You want someone named Top Notch on your wall.
We also have new shirt designs right there. We're going to get some more up. Don't buy them now.
Wait till a potential Mania sale at Pro Wrestling Tees. We don't know what's going to happen.
Usually
it has
a Mania sale. There's usually one there. Today on this episode of Going In Raw, I have to make sure I don't touch any part of my mic.
Yeah, you got some mic issues over there.
I ordered a new cord.
That's a good idea.
A new cord. So, yeah, I'm on mic watch today.
Yes.
Anyways, we have a packed episode for today's
Going In Raw.
Tons of... Some weeks there's no news, and some weeks there's lots of news.
Yes.
This is the latter.
Yeah.
Second week, the second...
The latter, the second thing, yeah. A lot of news. Let's kick it off first with... This could easily qualify for non-news, I feel like.
Non-news.
But we'll put it on here. This is your weekly...
At the $5...
Non-news teaser and dirt sheet. We're kicking off the show with it.
We have an exclusive show just for $5 and up patrons. It's called Non-News. It's all the stuff you don't need to know about wrestling. This is a preview of that.
Yeah, so the Daily Star, which I believe is some sort of periodical in the United Kingdom.
Is it related to David Starr? The wrestler.
I don't think so.
No. Well, it's a bummer.
Reported that there is a huge swing in the betting odds leading up to WrestleMania, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't have anything to do with any of the announced matches. Instead, they report that betting site Odds Checker, quote, believe there is a 99% chance The Rock will be at WrestleMania this year. And, quote, they are also offering up odds of 25-1 for the former WWE champion take part in an impromptu match inside Mercedes-Benz Superdome.
That means if you spend $25 to bet on it, you get $1 back if it happens?
No, it's the other way around. If you spend $1, you win $25. Whatever number comes first.
So the odds are really bad that he's going to have a match?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're really good. It's like 1 to 1,000. No, 1 to 100, sorry, that he'll show up.
Oh, okay, okay.
So if you want to win $1, you have to bet $100.
Gotcha. So it sounds like he's a lock to show up, not a lock to have a match.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yes, that's what the... Again, this is basically non-news. This is from a betting site. This is speculation.
We're leading off with it.
But anyways, George Ellick from Odds Checker said, quote, The Rock is still one of WWE's biggest names, and appearance from The Great One would spike interest and generate huge publicity for Vince McMahon's business. And the Daily Star notes, quote, The Rock has appeared in 6 of the last 7 WrestleMania shows and has wrestled in 3 of them. I would not be surprised if he shows up. He is involved in this whole Ronda Rousey, Triple H, Stephanie thing.
Tangentially, sure.
Yeah, going all the way back to WrestleMania 31 when he was directly involved in it.
Sure.
So I wouldn't be surprised if he shows up in some capacity in that match.
Give some sort of a motivational speech maybe to Kurt Angle.
Maybe.
And Ronda Rousey, obviously.
Yeah.
Or maybe to talk some trash to Triple H. Maybe.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Or just... coming out, walking out with him. I don't know what it is.
Oh, that'd be
cool. He's definitely not wrestling.
Hey, that'd be kind of neat. No, that, now that you mentioned it, that'd be actually really neat if they treated Ronda's entrance kind of like a UFC entrance with like an entourage sorts.
And have The Rock there.
And the Burger King back there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Didn't he come out with Floyd?
What are the betting odds of the Burger King showing up at Mania?
I'm sad because they're probably really low.
Odds Checkers is also saying that I think it's a 7-4 chance that Conor McGregor is going to show up at Mania.
Yeah.
Which I don't see happening.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about any of this. Although, if you had asked me, hey, Steve, out of the last 7 WrestleManias, how many have The Rock been? How many?
Probably wouldn't have said 6, huh?
I would have said like 4, probably.
Yeah.
Because I know he fought like Rowan, and he did the Ronda thing.
Yeah.
He,
and then he had main evented 2 years in a row.
I guess that was in the past 7 years, huh? Although if somebody said, hey, how long ago was that? I'd been like, I don't know, 8 or 9. I would have been out of the 7 years.
He didn't show up last year, did he?
No, he didn't. And I remember being outside and a lot of people were like, you think The Rock's going to be there? And there was one wiseacre or one know-it-all who was like, actually, his movie schedule is such that he's going to be in town and he's rolling. And I was like, okay, I don't care, whatever. I mean, if he's there, he's there. But he wasn't there. He didn't do anything.
I didn't independently verify the Daily Star's claim that he's been at 6 of the last 7 Manias.
He wasn't at last year's.
No, but the year before that, that was the...
32, he did the Rowan fight. Yeah. 31, he did the Rousey thing.
30. Oh, he did the intro thing with Stone Cold and Hogan.
Oh, yeah, that was really
29
good.
And 28, double main events. Okay. Main event in both shows.
Oh, there you go. So, and then he also the year before.
Yeah. Okay. So they're right.
Confirmed.
We just independently verified.
Look at our wrestling knowledge. Wow. Nobody challenged us.
No way.
No way. So anyways, do you care about this? I think it would make that fight bigger if he accompanied Ronda.
Especially
and Kurt.
If they have designs on that being the main event.
Mm-hmm.
Then definitely. It would give it a major fight feel, that's for sure. So yeah, there's a chance he'll show up to be involved in that, but there's no way he's wrestling. I don't think he can get insured by movie studios or insurance companies.
He's in a lot of movies.
Yeah.
That are all seemingly very similar to each other.
And he makes a lot of money doing that.
He's got that skyscraper movie, which just kind of feels like Die Hard.
Yeah, but then he's also in Rampage.
He's in Rampage also, and there's big buildings in that as well, but there's also giant monsters or animals.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's in that Jumanji movie.
Oh, man, that did gangbusters. That made a ton of money.
The crazy thing is, like, it's not like it opened all that strong. It was just around forever.
I think it's still in theaters.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. And it's on digital already. It's on digital right now.
Yeah, they're not wasting any time monetizing the various platforms you can watch Jumanji through.
I watched The Last Jedi again.
Oh.
I really enjoy that movie.
Yeah, I'll have to watch it again.
I don't know if people whine about it. I like it a lot. There are things about it that kind of bug. But otherwise, I really dig that movie. I love Luke in that movie, man.
Yeah, Luke was great.
And freaking What's-His-Face is amazing and everything.
Oh, Kylo Ren?
Adam Driver.
Adam Driver, yeah, he's
that
good.
That dude's the man. I'm telling you, I told you before, make him the new Batman.
Yeah, that'd be good.
That'd be perfect. Anyways.
Or Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, no, have it be Jake Gyllenhaal, but then like reboot the continuity or something and have that be young Batman.
Ah.
You know, because he's younger.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. Anyways, can you imagine Adam Driver's Batman?
Yeah, that'd be good.
That'd be great.
Like, he can get the brooding stuff down for sure.
I know, exactly. But I think he could also be like goofy Bruce Wayne guy too.
Yeah.
You know, like his persona.
Okay.
Anyways, let's see here. So yeah, The Rock at WrestleMania. Cool.
Sure, why not?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not wrestling, but he might be there.
They have my permission. They can do it.
Sure, yes.
Okay. Next. Oh, God. All right.
Well, let's go through the backstory of this one a little bit.
Do we have to?
I'm not going
to
go that far. I was talking about a week ago, several years back.
All right.
On the heels last week of Pro Wrestling Insider reporting, there have apparently been talks between WWE and Hulk Hogan about a potential return to the company, and then WWE issued a statement denying that, which read, quote, "We have had discussions with Terry Bollea, a.k.a. Hulk Hogan, about how he can help others learn from his mistakes. However, he was not under any contract with WWE. Anyways, Hulk is back in the news. TMZ ran to Hogan in LA, where he was in town to attend the premiere of HBO's Andre the Giant documentary, which I think is what aired this weekend.
Oh, nice.
Maybe
cool, right
soon.
On.
I'm excited to check it out. Apparently, Hogan's in it a lot. There's prominently pictures
given his
history, obviously, with Andre.
Yeah.
And he was asked if he's going to make an appearance at WrestleMania, to which Hogan said, "No, sir. No, sir. No WrestleMania." But when asked about an eventual return, he said, "Maybe someday, brother."
You know, man, it's even a bummer. So, like, we're going to talk about this in a second, but it's even a bummer to, like, do impressions of him.
It is. I don't know. It wasn't fun.
It's not fun.
No.
Anyways, the WWE issued a statement regarding Hogan's appearance at the premiere to PW Insider, saying, "Hulk Hogan is an important part of Andre the Giant's history. However, his appearance at tonight's HBO premiere of the documentary and his plans to help others learn from his mistakes does not mean WWE is rehiring. Hogan is not scheduled to be at any upcoming WWE events." Triple H obviously issues all the statements that come out of the WWE. Yeah. So that's a thing that we're going to have to deal with. A Hogan apology tour of sorts. I've said this before. I don't need Hulk Hogan in the WWE. I'm totally fine with them acknowledging his history.
Yeah.
Because it is integral to the WWE.
Oh, yeah.
There was zero substance to this rumor, but some people are, I think it was in the newsletter, Meltzer said something about the possibility of Hogan being
like
the new GM
of SmackDown.
The new GM of SmackDown, which, I mean, business-wise would drive their ratings up. But
potentially the risk of alienating potentially fans and sponsors.
Okay, well, here's the thing. It is fairly obvious that you would like to think, at least, that WWE has learned from the Moolah thing. And this is a million times more magnified because of who it is. It's Hulk Hogan and, you know, the TMZ thing, the leak tape. It was everywhere. I don't know. I wish the company would move forward and not backwards. I think one of my things is this. It's all a bit cynical, isn't it? Them saying, we're talking with Hogan about how he can help others learn from his mistakes. But the end goal, you know what the end goal is? It's to make money off Hulk Hogan again.
Yeah, I know.
It's to bring him back to the WWE so they can make money as a company. So they're not really trying to work with him to see how others can learn from his mistakes. That's just what they're saying to get the ability to make money off Hulk Hogan again. I believe it was our friendo, I think it was Robert Stack, who said this, a friendo of ours, said, and I'm paraphrasing, he said this in a tweet, it's not like he spent his off time, you know, on a Goodwill tour. It's not like he spent his off time, you know, showing at least privately, who knows, I don't know, but publicly, which is kind of the necessity part, if we're to take him seriously on camera and not just think about the racist things he said. But, you know, he didn't seem to be, besides the good morning, it was like a Good Morning America
interview.
Yeah, I
think he did a Good Morning America interview shortly after.
But, you know, it's not like he's really gone out of his way to indicate that, hey, you know what, I am sorry about this. I am sad about this. I am contrite or whatever.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I don't know. I see the name. We were looking at his merchandise on Pro Wrestling Tees. And some of it looks fantastic. I was saying, you know, it's a bummer that I can't help but associate him with that thing, mm-hmm. the things that he said that I heard him say. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we've received lots of feedback from plenty of people across, you know, a variety of ethnicities and races that say, you know, it stings, it hurts, it's gross, all sorts of stuff that, I mean, you know, I don't know. I've said before that I'm not really, I don't need Hulk Hogan back in the WWE.
Yeah, I don't see what he's going to add to anything.
I don't, you know.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. If it would kick off with like a big apology thing and.
Well, it would have to.
Yeah, that's by necessity.
It would have to.
If there was an obvious, and maybe he was waiting for a large stage like this to do that. If he's genuine,
yeah. If there's genuine contrition and a genuine attempt to show that those attitudes he expressed, he doesn't hold those attitudes
if
anymore.
If there's been serious reflection,
yes, and he's
and change as a human being.
Sorry, that's what I should have said. If he changed as a human being and shown genuine contrition, I don't know.
Then I mean, I guess it's fine. If it's a tall task. If he can't accomplish it, it's just going to make the product be kind of ugly. We like to sit here and make light and make fun and criticize and appreciate.
Yes.
With a positive look and a tongue firmly placed in cheek.
Yes.
The WWE product. we like to make light of it because it's a form of entertainment that doesn't take itself too seriously. And it would just, it would sully that a little bit if there wasn't, you know, the proper recognition of what has to happen.
Yes.
Some, you know, Mark Henry has said that Hogan needs to apologize to all the African-American wrestlers in the back. I mean, I think he's got a, an audience of millions that he needs to apologize to as well.
Yeah.
So, you know,
I think we both agree though, that if, if this, whatever they say, this relationship where they're having him, I don't know in what capacity, come in and talk to, I would assume, other talents about how to learn from his mistakes.
I read it more as a mass thing. Like, you know, how can he help the WWE universe learn from his mistakes?
Oh.
How can, I mean, it can be read either way.
Oh, help others learn. Yeah, it's a vague statement.
It is a very vague statement.
And, but anyways, if you're using this to kind of, you know, clear a path for him to return without doing any, like an apology tour, any of that kind of stuff, that's a terrible idea.
Well, that I don't think that would ever happen.
I would
Although
hope it
it's
wouldn't
the
happen.
WWE.
Exactly.
You never know.
If Vince gets it in his head, well, you know, he says, well, it's been a few years. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Without recognizing that he's going to risk alienating a lot of people and
fly.
A lot of sponsors.
That would never fly. That
it would never fly. Fly.
And and to be honest with you, in this day and age, I would even wonder if, because you saw how quickly and swiftly Snickers pulled the rug right out of that Fabulous Moolah stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if there are other big sponsors.
Oh, potentially.
Would say, look, man, he can apologize all he wants. You don't need him. We don't want to be associated with him. That's a possibility.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. I mean, I'm interested. I'm always interested to get everybody's everybody's feedback on that.
Oh, yeah.
So let us know what you guys think.
Yes,
in the comments.
Definitely.
But I'm sure there's probably going to be some interesting comments out there about that. That's just, look, those are my personal views, you know, like I don't need it. If I understand that a human being has seen that those kinds of views and those kinds of attitudes are toxic and disgusting, and he's legitimately remorseful about it
and learned from the experience
and not just, oh, my pocketbook and my legacy was affected. Like, you know, I recognize that this is, I mean, I go, yeah. So I don't know. That's my own personal feelings.
No, I think we're on the same page.
I think so. Next up, we've got
some more WrestleMania updates.
See, now this is fun to talk about.
Yeah,
now we can talk about fun stuff.
Positive, fun
this
stuff
is what
to talk
about. Fun stuff.
First up, why is Rusev getting a U.S. title shot? According to Meltzer, the Wrestling Observer himself, it's because he sold a lot of merchandise.
Because people love Rusev,
yep.
And when they love somebody, they will dole out their, they'll get out their pocketbooks.
They'll buy their Rusev Day shirts, the Rusev Day calendars, all sorts of Rusev merchandise. And apparently, according to Meltzer again, this is what happened. He mentions the Rusev Day merchandise sales have led to Rusev being pulled from the Battle Royal and put into the Fatal 4-Way for the U.S. title. Great. Hopefully
he
wins.
As far as I'm concerned, that's not enough. I want him to win the title.
Yeah, put the belt on him, have him make it the use the trying to think of a good pun between U.S. and Rusev Day.
Yeah, well, the U.S. is in the name.
Yeah, U.S. Day title.
Russ champion. Yeah, it's great, man. He sells a lot of merch. I've yet to buy. Do they sell the hoodie that he wears?
I think
Rusev
so.
Day hoodie. Yeah, well, we're heading into the warm weather, so I'm not going to get that.
Yeah, you don't need that. If they printed their shirts on better material, I'd buy a Rusev Day shirt.
If they had like a nice heather gray clotheslined apparel type thing with
Rusev
Day on it. Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about.
I'd be down with that.
Yeah, I'm not going to pay $28 for a t-shirt that probably cost 10 cents to make.
Boy, they are pricey, man.
Yeah.
They are pricey.
They really
days.
Mark them up.
Hey, I'll say this though. That Elias shirt that I got, it wasn't on the heavy stuff.
Oh, that's good.
So, yeah.
Well, I noticed when I was going through their merch, this is going to turn into like WWE shop talk here.
That's great.
The Monday Night Rollins shirt isn't on the thicker shirt.
Oh, really?
No. You have to scroll down to the bottom of the page and you can find out what the quality of the shirt is.
Oh, see, I've actually thought about getting that Rollins shirt.
Yeah, it's not on the, I think for the thicker one, like the Rusev Day, I think it says it's the 100% cotton one.
Rusev Day.
And it has the weight. But then the Rollins one is on something else. What was that one?
They have a Mower of Lawn shirt.
Oh, that's funny.
This is exactly view product details. Let's see what kind of shirt
it's
this
probably 100%
is.
Cotton.
100% cotton.
Classic fit, yeah.
Is that bad? That's bad?
Yeah, this says, what's good? This says the official shirt of WWE Superstars. You don't want that.
What's good?
Look up the Rollins one. Monday Night Rollins.
Oh, look at that. They got a Shayna Baszler.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's 30% off in the cart. This Velveteen Dream one is not good. Roderick Strong, Suplex City. Okay. Oh, man, what about this KO Mania 3 one?
Oh, I know, that's great, but it's going to be on...
You think so?
Yeah.
Classic fit, 100%.
Yeah, you don't
cotton.
Want that one.
Boo Earns. What about the new Elias one? Oh, man, you get picks with this Elias shirt.
Oh, that's cool.
It's $30, but still, it's not that bad.
Okay, so here, this is the Rollins one is a premium fitted garment.
Oh, wow.
100% combed, ring-spun, cotton-fine jersey.
Wow.
I think that's what my Booker t-shirt is on, too. Oh, the Monday Night Rollins shirt's on sale, 30% off, under $20.
Might have to get it. Might have to
there
do
you
it.
Go. There you go. Anyways, enough of the merch talk. There's been some more news, maybe, about who Braun Strowman's partner is going to be at WrestleMania. This is from Sports Illustrated. Their last breaking story as far as Rey Mysterio didn't exactly pan out, but who knows if injury had anything to do with that? Probably not. Anyways, from Sports Illustrated, quote, permitting Mysterio can work, two sources close to WWE confirmed that Vince McMahon is strongly considering using Mysterio as Braun Strowman's tag team partner against Cesaro and Sheamus. And he continues, quote, if Mysterio returns to WWE for WrestleMania, it's currently expected to be a short-term deal. Now, we just saw him at a Strong Style Evolved. He was scheduled to take on Jushin Thunder Liger. Of course, he tore his bicep. Didn't happen. He dropped a promo saying that it's on his bucket list to have a match in New Japan.
Yeah, man.
So any sort of deal with WWE would have to be short-term.
Mm-hmm.
From the newsletter.
It'd be a Jericho deal.
Yeah. Newsletter says, quote, that's notable because of his appearing with New Japan and making commitments with them for future shows. Mysterio Jr. is doing an autograph session in New Orleans next week. Now that his booking with Five Star Wrestling is off with the company having folded. And then Cage Side Seats reported on something early this afternoon. He recently appeared on Showtime's Below the Belt, and he threw some cold water on top of him appearing at Mania.
Whoa.
Saying, quote, unfortunately, I just suffered a torn bicep 3 weeks ago, opted not to get surgery. It's a full tear, but I'm just going to kick back, do some therapy for it, and hopefully I'll be ready next month.
Wowie, wow.
I thought they had to reattach that as a full tear.
Kick back. Well, kick back and do some therapy.
I guess it depends where the tear is. If it's just a tear in one hunk of the muscle,
yeah,
that's different than having the actual tendon pull off the bone. Yeah. I think that has to be physically reattached.
Ugh.
But I think if there's just a tear in the bicep.
What a nasty business.
Because there's two parts to your bicep.
So Mr. Mysterio Jr. was not on our list of people that we wanted to see tag team with Braun Strowman.
It'd be fine, but it's just not going to happen. I didn't. When I read the Sports Illustrated story, I was skeptical that was going to be the case.
Oh, wow. Wow, so Larson v. Sports Illustrated, no. Is that what we're saying right
no,
here?
There's no heat. I'm just,
doubting the veracity
like,
of
sure
the veracity.
Have, I'm sure he has his sources, and maybe it is true that at one point Vince considered it, but...
Is this Justin Barrasso again?
I think so, yeah.
Man, oh man, you know, he needs a hug, man. If he gets this one wrong, ooh, two strikes. You know what happens at three strikes? You just keep on going, man. Yeah. You just keep on. This is wrestling journalism.
I'm sure he's doing his best, man.
He's doing his due diligence.
I'm not faulting him at all.
Oh man, I'd give him a strong hug.
Yeah, no,
I'd
I would.
Be like, hey, man, we all get some wrong.
I know
sometimes.
He got a lot of heat for the last Mysterio story. Ooh. Saying he's going to take on Cena.
I will say this: it is a courageous person who is willing to put out information, knowing full well that Vince McMahon is waiting in the wings to poo-poo his own ideas or anybody else's ideas on a whim. You know what? I thought Ray was a great idea. Now I want Braun to win both titles by himself.
Yeah.
Could happen. Could happen. Instead, have Ray fight Elias. Something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't
know. Yeah, I know.
Can we sign Will Ospreay for an episode?
So much of all this depends on the fickle nature of one Vincent Kennedy.
I know. Man. Exactly. So, you know what?
And it's hard to break news when
we're
he's
not
a decision
hey,
maker.
Look. We don't have sources. We don't claim to be journalists.
We regurgitate.
We read info, point at it and laugh, all for your benefit. I really wish somebody would do like a spreadsheet of some sort and track how accurate the various sources, various outlets are these days.
Well, let's think of it just based on your own experience. What would you think is more often than not?
Jeez, I don't know.
In terms of breaking news.
I feel like PW Insider always has...
It's pretty decent.
The thing about PW Insider, There was a spell where Ryan Satin and Pro Wrestling Sheet was really good.
Yeah.
They had a good run.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really know of anything lately that they've really... I could be completely just missing it, but lately I feel like it hasn't been as much. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's difficult for, like, the Dave Meltzer because so often... He's on the radio show and he just says, well, it would make sense if they do this. And then the next day, a bunch of people pick it up as factually speaking.
They report his speculation.
The dude
news.
Just sits there and speculates. He's like, it probably makes sense that they'd repackage Bray Wyatt because he just got into the Lake of Reincarnation.
Next day, I know.
Rumor about Bray Wyatt. He's saying something that kind of makes sense, but Vince doesn't always go in a way that makes sense. So you can't criticize Meltzer for that.
No.
So I don't know, man.
Anyways.
I kind of feel like PW Insider, they don't get like the spectaculars, but they get right.
Seems like it.
I kind of feel like that.
Yeah.
That's just my gut. What do you say?
No, I agree.
Yeah?
Yeah. Speaking of PW Insider, they had a story about Dean Ambrose. Injury update time, Steve.
Oh, no.
So according to PW Insider, Dean Ambrose as well as Renee Young... were recently spotted in Birmingham, Alabama. That is the home base for Dr. James Andrews, noted orthopedist. And I believe it was through his office that Dean Ambrose had his triceps repaired. And this is what PW Insider...
Which one are the triceps?
These ones. These ones. Three muscles. Yeah, three heads to it. Biceps, there's two heads. According to PW Insider, quote, Ambrose is back there working on rehabilitating his triceps tear. Ambrose was sporting a sling around town last night when they were spotted. Of course, he had just been pulled from his WrestleMania Access appearances. I think his time slots were Sting and Ric Flair.
And then he also had, there was like another signing thing that...
Oh, someplace else, yeah, and he got pulled from that too.
And he was replaced by Orton.
Oh.
Randy Orton. So...
So I guess the original prognosis was 9 months of recovery.
Yeah.
It's only been like four.
Oh, has it only been that long?
Yeah.
I guess so, huh? Well, when he comes back, he'll be super hot.
Yeah.
I kind of miss Dean a little bit. Like, Here's the thing about Dean Ambrose, if you think about it. He's never been gone for an extended period of time.
No, I mean, he was the workhorse.
He was the workhorse,
exactly.
He wrestled
most matches for like 2 years in a row or something like that.
So with him being gone, I'm like, none of his matches would have been like the ones that I was looking forward to most of Mania.
It's just a familiar presence.
But I like Dean.
No, he's fine.
I like Dean.
He's
a lot of people love Dean.
I know.
There are people out there like, just for me saying, I kind of miss him, I like him. They'll be like, why don't you love him? Why isn't your whole life turned upside down because he's gone? People in the comments are going to be saying that.
Okay. Well, they're they can have their opinion. That's fine. Dean Ambrose can be their favorite wrestler.
Yeah,
that's
man.
Okay.
No, it's good.
In other injury news, a newsletter, Wrestling Observer himself mentioned that AJ Styles apparently is suffering from some sort of MCL injury.
That's not as bad as an ACL, right?
No, because Seth last year tore his MCL,
mm-hmm.
and then he was still able to compete at WrestleMania.
He just put a big, and he had a good match with Triple H.
Yeah.
He just put like a big like pillow around it.
I think the MCL, it's the one on the outside of your knee, I think. So maybe in terms of the integrity, the structural integrity of your knee, that's the one that's kind of least important. Because the ACL is one that goes from the middle. And then I think it's the PCL that goes on the inside.
Whatever happened to that kid who was drafted to the Spurs?
Which one?
With no like...
Oh, DeJuan Blair?
DeJuan Blair.
I don't think he's playing anymore.
I don't think he is either.
Yeah, he had no ACLs, right?
He had no ACLs. What's holding the knee? What's replacing
wasn't
that?
Wasn't he born without ACLs?
Yeah.
So I guess just the rest of his musculature and the tendons
I
is
guess so.
Compensated for.
Yeah, it's like Daredevil,
that's
man.
Pretty crazy.
You lose your sense of sight. And everything else is enhanced mm-hmm. to superhuman.
He was abilities. A really good player.
I know, he was really good. I'm kind of curious what happened to him. So anyways, sounds like, because they haven't been having AJ, you know,
wrestle
they've had him in some tag matches at house shows, but he's not going to wrestle on the go home. And, you know, they're
at
pretty
least
much
not any amount.
They're pretty much shutting them down until Mania. Smart move.
Mm-hmm. I guess the hope is, though, too, is that it's not a tear. It's just a sprain of some sort.
Oh, okay. All right.
But, I mean, granted, Seth really didn't, after Mania, didn't miss any time. He's been wrestling ever since.
Yeah.
So maybe it was a situation where he was able to heal kind of while working. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know how all that works.
So currently he plays for San Lorenzo de... Almagro in
Spain,
probably. Argentina.
Oh, Argentina.
Based out of Buenos Aires.
Oh, that's cool.
Good for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He had a decent NBA career. He was a great college player at Pitt.
So he was from 2009 to 2016. Wow.
Yeah, seven, eight-year NBA career. That's pretty good.
It's not bad.
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah.
So that's still going to be, I mean, a lot of people were like about a week ago, people were really like freaked out around the Madison Square Garden
show. Where they threw up the X and all that stuff.
People were really freaked out about that.
But apparently he won't miss Mania. The match is going to happen.
He's going to get a knee to the face. Shinsuke will pick up the belt.
And AJ will take a little time off.
He should, man.
Yeah, I know. You know, that WWE schedule is grueling, man.
It's grueling.
It's too much. Especially if you want people to put on exciting matches like, you know, they're capable of 250 days a year. It's too much.
It's way too much.
You know? It's too much.
I agree.
You can't wrestle like AJ Styles and sell and take bumps like that 250 days a year and not get banged up some.
If I took one of those bumps, I would be out for 6 months, and I'd probably have permanent damage.
Oh, I would need neck surgery.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man, this next one. Oh, we don't have all the New Orleans craziness in here?
Oh, no.
No?
We've talked about that before, haven't we? We talked about the no pile drivers and stuff.
So we'll just talk about it briefly now. Just before, because we're getting into like the indie stuff right now. So the Athletic Commission, something like that, in Louisiana, have released a set of guidelines, banned moves, and other things, other requirements for pro wrestling shows
running many a weekend, right?
Yeah, exactly. And the list was, it was something like, no pile drivers.
But then they also said in the newsletter, it said that
there's a big qualifier there.
Well, yeah, that WWE and Ring of Honor would be exempt from the no pile driver rule.
Yeah, Ring of Honor. So WWE and Ring of Honor are exempt from pretty much everything.
Yeah,
because they're considered major league.
Yeah,
everybody else is considered not major league, and there is a big caveat if the commission. Is if it's proved to the commission that the participants in any given match are properly trained, because like Suzuki, for example, is wrestling at a show.
Yeah.
That's not Ring of Honor or WWE. And like, you know, he's been doing the Gotch pile driver
forever
since before, he made this point since before. Oh, somebody on the,
Ring oh of yeah, yeah, was yeah, even yeah, born. Yeah. I saw that. Yeah. Oh, man, I was looking for Suzuki shirts last night, and there's this great one to celebrate his 30th anniversary show.
Oh, really?
It's really expensive, though.
So I'm getting this from who does the mandatory? WrestleZone. I'm getting this from WrestleZone. I like WrestleZone, too.
Yeah, WrestleZone's really good.
All variations of pile driver, all variations of power bomb, the moonsault, shooting star, or 450 splash, or any variation thereof, which involves one wrestler leaping or flipping off the ropes or turnbuckles to contact the head or neck of the opponent with any part of the body. The stun gun of any variation thereof, which results in one fighter's head or neck being dragged, draped, or clotheslined across the ropes. The striking of a wrestler's head with any object, chair, trash can, lid, etc. And no wrestler shall throw, push, shove, or force another out of the ring or over the top rope.
It's like Bill Watts' book in this state.
There is another one. I got some, like David Starr, the wrestler. Fantastic wrestler.
Yeah.
Also, there's this one here. Appearance of participants. All participants' skin must be clean and free from grease or other sort of lotion or foreign substance. The fingernails must be trimmed well below the fingertips, and the participants must be clean-shaven. Larson, you're not booked.
Well, I'm not going to WrestleMania or New Orleans for WrestleMania. I won't be in the state of Louisiana, so I'm fine.
Well, good for you. There's also an issue right now that a lot of people are talking about the what is considered by some as an excessive sales tax that they're required to charge for selling merch. So, like, a lot of the wrestlers are saying, yeah, I'm not going to be selling merch anymore, which is a huge...
Yeah, that would be a huge moneymaker for them generally over the weekend.
And so I think I forget who it was, but somebody tweeted that, you know, I'm not sure how they're going to be able to enforce that. I don't know if they're going to be doing inventory checks beforehand.
Yeah.
So apparently this all stems back from like a decades old ruling about Louisiana trying to get rid of sham fights, which of course pro wrestling would qualify as sham fighting, because there was a lawsuit, somebody got hurt, and so they said, yeah, okay, none of that. WWE eventually, it was eventually overruled in like 2007.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, so here's the thing. Obviously, it's not going to affect WWE, Ring of Honor. The bigger promotions, I would think, like Progress, Impact, and Lucha Underground, they have their big show together. I don't even think they're going to have a problem. The problem's going to be
the real small independent promotions.
A lot of shows run in coordination or in conjunction with WrestleMania, and the smaller shows might have problems, because I'm not sure what the ratio is between number of commission members and or representatives,
people who can go out there and inspect, yeah, do inspections and such,
like the shows. I would think,
well, commissions have their own doctors supposed to clear all the, or do physicals and all the competitors too.
Yeah, I would think that the bigger shows would get priority. You just figure they're going to bring in more tax dollars or and so this could be a problem for the smaller the smaller shows out there. I hope it's not. I hope it's much ado about nothing.
Yeah.
But it sounds like if you're putting on a wrestling show, it might be a massive headache.
Yeah,
it
sounds like a huge headache.
Yeah.
Speaking of potentially massive headaches, it's time to say goodbye to the American Legion Hall in Reseda, California, if you're a Pro Wrestling Guerrilla fan.
So this is pretty interesting.
Yeah. So PWG announced on Twitter last night, quote, PWG says goodbye to Reseda. The final three shows at the American Legion Hall will take place April 20th and 21st and May 25th.
April 20th, 21st is
All-Star Weekend.
All-Star Weekend. And then they probably haven't named the May 25 show.
Yeah, they've announced the card for cards for All-Star Weekend.
Yeah, it's good lineup, too.
Yeah. So that's a bummer. Of course, they just had their last show, Time is a Flat Circle, at the Globe Theater in downtown Los Angeles.
Keith Lee picked up the PWG title,
yeah. Because of a ticket issue with PayPal and such. So it seems like, whether intended or not, that was a trial run for running shows someplace other than the American Legion Hall. The Wrestling Observer himself, in the newsletter this week, mentioned that the American Legion Hall is being sold.
Yeah.
And because of that, it will not host wrestling events any longer.
It was listed for around $2 million.
A little bit under $2 million.
Yeah. It was like $1.999.
Yeah.
So,
sort of like when they used to sell the Atari 2600 for less than $50, and guess how much it was?
$49.99.
Yep.
Yeah. That's still a common practice.
Oh, I know.
Pro Wrestling Tees, our shirts are $19.99.
I know. $120. You too can get a Going In Raw shirt for less than $20.
Exactly, yeah. So, yeah, I'm very glad that we got to see two shows there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's awesome. I might try to go down May 25th.
Maybe.
I might.
We'll see how things work out.
See if Lacey might want to go, and if you want to go. We'll see, though. We'll see. I don't really like traveling.
The month of March is I had to travel a lot. So,
all that being said,
I'm ready to chill out a bit.
From what I understand, the Globe Theater, fantastic location.
Oh, the pictures look great.
They look fantastic.
They had a screen up with a giant PWG logo and some lights and stuff. And apparently, it was like air conditioned.
Yeah,
they had couches.
That is the most exciting thing to me. Because if I can sit on a couch and watch PWG, are you kidding me?
Oh, I know.
That'd be fantastic. I don't care where in the building.
The drinks are more expensive at the Globe Theater versus
they're like fancier drinks. It's no more of like bringing the pitcher and just filling it up.
Yeah.
So it's a bummer. I think it's a bummer.
It is. I mean, because they've been having shows there for about 11 years, something like that.
Since 2009. Oh, I'm sorry. 2009. From then until current is that's the only place it's been.
So about,
and I think it was 2006
that they had one of the Bola shows there. I read, but prior to 2009, they had shows elsewhere. You know, it wasn't like it's been the full time of PWG the entire time since 2003.
Right.
So it is a bummer, though.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's the atmosphere. I've said this a million times over. Being in that location with the level of talent they brought in, with the community feeling that you get, you know, Meltzer in the newsletter mentioned, you know, you're not going to get people bumping into you and spilling their drinks on you, which was just part of the thing during the summertime when it gets super hot. It is really hot in there.
Yeah.
That's not going to be a thing anymore. There is something about that hot, sweaty, almost underground feeling environment. And yet you have the top independent name, not just independent names, the top non-WWE names, because as you know, all sorts of, you know, the Young Bucks are regulars there.
Yeah.
They're going to be at the next show as well. Yeah.
They said on Twitter it's be their last appearance at the American Legion Hall.
Yeah, yeah. So it is. I mean, it does feel like, you know, it's an end of an era.
It'd be like ECW having to move out of the ECW arena.
Mm-hmm, yeah, exactly. So kind of interesting, kind of weird, but, you know, the times, they are changing.
That's true.
Let's get to some Sakura Genesis.
Yes, of course, we just returned from Strong Style Evolved, had a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of the go-home show, as you mentioned the other day, for Sakura Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go through and make some predictions, Steve.
All right, sounds good. We didn't really do like a recap or like a review.
Oh, I know.
There wasn't a whole lot of time.
No.
Short on time.
Yeah, we are short on time. First, Bullet Club, Chase Owens and Tokyo Pimp versus Young Bucks.
Young Bucks versus Owens and Young Bucks. Though.
Yeah,
that's not even a question.
Agreed. What is next? Next, Chaos, Yano and Ishii versus Taichi and Iizuka.
Wait, why are the Young Bucks taking on other Bullet Club people?
Because that's the story, man. It's Bullet Club infighting.
Yeah, I know, but what did Chase Owens and Tokyo Pimp have to do with that?
Well, Chase Owens was friendly with Kenny Omega.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how Tokyo Pimp got involved in all that. I haven't seen him around.
I feel like the Young Bucks were cool with the other Bullet Club guys, like Tama Tonga and all.
I don't know. I'm not up to date on being the elite.
All right, so who do we got next? Yano and Ishii versus who?
Taichi and Iizuka.
Is this for titles? I don't even know if it's the freaking titles.
I'm going Team Chaos.
All right, I'll go with Suzuki-gun, because you're going with Chaos.
All right. Next. Bad Luck Fale, Tama Tonga, and Tonga Loa, the never open weight six-man tag champs versus Makabe, Elgin, and Taguchi.
All right, let me take a look here.
I'm going with Bullet Club.
Bullet Club are champions. Taguchi, yeah, that's gonna be Bullet Club. They talk about a non-consequential. They do not need those titles.
There's a lot of belts. Next, we have Naito, Evil, and Sonata.
Los Ingobernables de Japón.
Taking on Suzuki, Archer, and Davey Boy Smith.
Well, that's gonna be a good match.
Yeah, it is.
But LIJ goes over.
I wonder if they're setting up for Suzuki versus Naito.
I would like that.
I think that'd be great.
Get that IC title back on Naito. Have him destroy it again.
Yeah. It looks so pretty now, though.
I know. It's so beautiful now.
I'm going with Suzuki-gun.
All right.
Next. El Desperado and Kanemaru, your junior heavyweight tag team champions, taking on Takahashi and Bushi and Roppongi 3K.
I'm going to say Roppongi 3K. Keep them.
All right. No, they don't have the belts.
Who has the belts?
Suzuki-gun.
Oh, gee, willikers. Roppongi 3K picks him up.
Okay, I'll agree with that.
Really? I feel completely lost right now.
We just saw the show.
I don't feel like I'm getting any of these right.
Well, we're not doing confidence points. It's fine. Next, Will Ospreay versus Marty Scurll for the junior heavyweight title.
Will Ospreay's Marty Scurll's not picking up that title. Wasn't he just junior heavyweight champion?
Yeah, he was. Next, Golden Lovers versus Cody and Hangman Page.
Golden Lovers.
Yeah. Hopefully Kenny and Kota are fine. They look like they got a little beat up at a...
Yeah, no kidding, man. Don't
strong style
can't
at all.
Mess with an orbital bone.
No. Well, he must not have a broken orbital bone, because if he did, he wouldn't be wrestling. I wouldn't think.
It probably hurts quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it does. In the main event... For the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship, the champion, Kazuchika Okada, taking on Zack Sabre Jr.
Man, I mean, Okada's winning, but man, that's going to be a killer match. Zack Sabre Jr. is one of my favorites right now.
Oh, I know.
That's going to be a killer
match.
It's
going to be fantastic. I mean, the tag match they had at Strong Style Evolve was great.
Oh, man, it was so
much
fun.
We have a couple minutes. We can do a little brief Strong Style Evolve rundown, general thoughts.
All right, man, let's do it. Let's look at the card here. Strong Style.
We can do likes and dislikes.
All right, so let's open with this.
Number one dislike, no backs on my seat.
We had a friend. Well, let's just start from the beginning. We had a friendo meetup, and it was fantastic.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Lots of great people. Some guys literally drove. This is the power of couch hop. Knowing that James would be there, weren't wrestling fans, didn't have tickets to the show, showed up just to get a picture or video of him with a alien doll, like a large alien doll in like a torture rack.
Yeah. They just wanted that.
They just wanted that, and then they left. So there was that. Everybody we met was super cool.
Yes.
Off the top of my head, Jeffrey Nguyen, the dude who sent us that cool art that's over there. We're going to put in the new art. I think his name was Steve also.
Thayer Thabata.
Stevie Bradley.
Stevie Bradley.
Thayer Thabata, of course. Weird that he was like, I was talking to him and he kept on stepping back a little bit, which caused me to step forward. Did I mention on the show or on the post show? Post show. Yeah. So that was weird.
Yes.
But Thayer had a great time. He had, he was in the front row. He was all over the place. Yeah. All sorts of great friendos that we got. And just random people walking by. Hey, Steve.
Yeah.
They gave me a too sweet.
Yeah, I'd shake their hands.
It was fantastic.
It was great. It was a lot of fun. Let's go through this card real quick.
We did not sit together.
No.
We tried to get the best
somehow
seats.
We both got stuck with seats without backs
on
them.
We should have just got the freaking, like, we should have just been like, okay, five seats. But we just figured if we split up the seats.
It'd be hard to get tickets. Well, it was hard to get tickets anyways.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
Anyways. First match for Pongi 3K with Rocky Romero took on SoCal Uncensored with Christopher Daniels, Frankie Kazarian, and Scorpio Sky. I wanted to check and see if Kazarian got hurt. It looked like he tweaked his knee.
Yeah, there was like
that
a...
That looked legit.
There was like a legit botch-looking move, but then he was moving fine on it.
Yeah, kind of. He would still kind of flex it and...
Yeah, I never know. These days, I never know. I don't know if they botch it on purpose, like at work, or if it was legit. I can never tell. They're so good these days.
My philosophy is that if that injury is involved in storyline of the match, then it's probably a work. But if not, then
yeah,
I don't know.
They incorporate it these days. They know how to like make it part of the story.
Well, Kazarian really didn't. That wasn't incorporated into the match.
You don't think he did?
No. Ospreay definitely didn't. It looked like he tweaked his knee too.
Yeah, true. So no, that was a cool match.
Yeah, anyways, Roppongi 3K picked up the win.
Mm-hmm.
Next we had Juice Robinson, David Finlay take on Hirooki Goto. And Gato.
I like how extra Juice Robinson is with his getup.
Oh,
it's
man.
Very Shawn Michaels from like 92 or 94 or whatever.
Goto got his, started bleeding from the mouth.
Yeah.
Decent enough match.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was what it was.
Juice and David Finlay go over.
Oh, that's right. I was up in the concourse at this point. I was about to get some popcorn.
Oh.
I need to watch this next one on TV. I love the fact that like we're so early into this and I'm like, yeah, I don't remember any of this stuff because this next one, I was legitimately so bummed. Four of my favorite people ever. And I was like deep in the line for popcorn. Cause I didn't think it was going to happen at this point. Yano and Chucky T.
Yeah. Chucky T got a great reception.
Well, yeah, man, he's a local dude. And then Killer Elite Squad, Lance Archer and Davey Boy Smith.
Lance Archer, he went into the crowd, spit water. Thankfully, he didn't go up to the stands. He was just on the floor.
Okay, but you said he also spit water directly in the face.
In the face of security guard. He walked up the ramp. As soon as he got, I don't know, like 15 feet from where the lighting setup was, he turns with a mouthful of water and just spits it right in the face of a security guard.
Man. And you said that security guard seemed pissed.
He didn't seem happy about it.
Whoa.
And, of course, he went out and spit all over the place, got in the stand, spit on all over the place.
And I know, I love hearing the crowd gasp. It was great. So I heard that. I was bummed out about it. I did, however, watch the next bit. Cody Rhodes, the best heel.
Say who won. Killer Elite Squad went over with Killer
obviously
Bomb.
Obviously, they went over. They're not going to beat. I mean, they're not going to lose to Yano and Chucky
T. It was a fun match, though. They had some good comedy stuff.
I know. I'm going to watch it on New Japan World.
You didn't see any of that match?
No. It was a really long line.
I was really thirsty, but I didn't want to deal with a line, so I never got anything.
Yeah, I had to get up. Those seats were terrible.
They weren't very comfortable.
I'm just sitting there. I'm like, you can feel everything that hurts in your body.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks.
So when I was sitting there, stiff, you know, I was trying to keep good posture. It didn't really hurt. But then Monday, that's when I really got sore.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Next up. Hold on. Oh, my mic doesn't pop here. Next up, Bullet Club. Cody and Marty Scurll versus... So Team Cody versus Bullet Club Gorillas of Destiny. Tama Tonga, Tonga Loa. Tama Tonga got a huge response.
Yeah.
Crowd loved him. All sorts of FU Cody chants.
Yes.
Which was great. Cody is the best heel in the business, bar none, right now. He's doing amazing work. If you haven't watched it, his interview, him and Brandy give a press conference afterwards, and it's a work of art. It's so good. They're both hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
And he's just doing great work.
Each time I've come to Long Beach, I've been received fairly poorly. I'll talk to New Japan about not booking me next time I come to
New
Long
Japan,
Beach.
Maybe don't book me in Long Beach anymore.
Oh, that was so good.
So good. Well,
do you think there's, what are the chances of you and Kenny reconciling? We will not be reconciling. That's not going to happen.
Pretty poor.
Pretty poor, yeah. Like oh, he is fantastic.
He's great.
Anyways,
there was a good dynamic between him and Marty, too, where this before the match started, Cody would pose, get booed. Marty would pose, get cheers.
Yeah, people love
they
Marty.
They did that back and forth for a while. It went early on the match, the Gorilla's Destiny knocked Cody out of the ring. Marty got behind him and was like talking trash to Cody.
Yeah.
As if to say, no, I'm aligned with these guys
now.
Yeah,
yeah.
Gorilla's Destiny turned their attention to him, laid him out. He gets tossed outside the ring. He gives Cody a huge hug.
Yeah.
Some good character stuff.
Some really, really good character stuff. I really love the stuff Cody, especially, is doing with Bullet Club these days. And they ended up going over. Mm-hmm. They beat Gorilla's Destiny mm-hmm. through superior intelligence. I forget how they won. I don't remember. Next up, it's weird that Naito is so buried in this thing.
I know, but he might have got the loudest pop.
He did get the loudest pop during the pre-roll with all the faces and names. But that, and then him coming out, he got the loudest pop.
Was they for the Okada match? Was anybody near you booing? There's a couple people booing.
Booing who?
Okada.
Really?
Yeah, there's a couple people near us that was booing.
We were literally like kneeling in prayer at his altar.
I know.
Okada is God.
I know. There's a couple of people near us that were booing.
Man, that's crazy. No, I was firmly within the religion of Okada section.
Yeah, same. I mean, like pretty much everybody in this match, you know, there's you can dedicate religion to each of them. I mean, for me, my spirit, my savior is Minoru Suzuki.
And here's the thing. I love Suzuki and I worship at the altar of Zack Sabre Jr.ism as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, but still, I understand who top god is, and that's Okada.
Oh, yeah, I know.
He is god of wrestling.
In the pantheon, he is top god.
Oh, man, he's definitely top god.
I understand that.
He looks like a god.
Oh, I know. Anyways, LIJ takes on Taguchi Japan. LIJ goes over. It was a fun match.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that ended with a Destino. I know that.
Yeah.
And they did this amazing pose afterwards that just looks so cartoonish and anime style.
Oh, but it's so cool.
And because Ticking Time Bomb... Number one, every time Ticking Time Bomb is in a match and Dragon Lee's in a match, they always start it off.
They had like a 3-minute chop off.
Oh, I
just
love it.
Chopping each other.
I want to go back and watch some old CML. I want to see their actual feud from CML.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But no, it was just, it's so much, they're so much fun. They are so much flipping fun. And so, yeah, that was a great match. People were popping huge for now. That building, the acoustics
were great.
Were amazing. Like that place was a rumbling.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I mean, the first match, they were doing some pretty basic stuff, and they were getting pops.
People were really happy to be there, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Next, Will Ospreay versus Jushin Thunder Liger. Of course, it was originally supposed to be Rey Mysterio taking on Liger.
Boy, is it a 10-minute match? I thought this was like a 7-minute match at most, because it felt really quick.
It did feel quick, but it was pretty, it was solid while it lasted.
So before this match, Rey Mysterio Jr. came out, and he apologized to people for not being there or for not being able to perform. You know, he's obviously got a ripped bicep. We talked about that before. And so he was sitting ringside for this match. At one point, Will Ospreay had Jushin Thunder Liger in 619 position, tried to take advantage, but Liger was able to counter.
Mm-hmm.
Evidently, the 619 is not, maybe it's because Mysterio is so short, but like when you see Will Ospreay do it and then you see Cesaro try to do it, it's always so difficult for them to pull it off. I think because they're tall.
Yeah, yeah.
It's probably why.
Yeah.
Because his was ugly as crap. And then it was reversed.
Yeah.
But anyways, Ospreay went over afterwards. He got on the mic and said, I want to take, with all due respect to the legends, I want to take this title, the junior title, to the next level. But to do that, I have to beat more legends. And he called out Rey Mysterio. So hopefully that'll be a thing.
Yeah, then Skrull came out, hit Ospreay with an umbrella.
Mysterio made the save.
Yes.
And Liger helped make the save too. Yeah.
Yeah. So, which is leading to Sakura Genesis, we just mentioned. Mm-hmm. Ospreay versus Skrull.
Yeah.
Next, Suzuki Goon, Minoru Suzuki, and Zack Sabre Jr., two of my favorite wrestlers in the entire world.
And by the way, when Suzuki's, what's the name of his theme song?
Kaze Ninare.
Yeah. When that.
Oh, I've never sang anything so loudly.
When that chorus hit, the entire place erupted with it. Yeah. It was great. So they took on the IWGP Heavyweight Champion Kazuchika Okada and his buddy Tomohiro Ishii.
Yeah, fun match.
Yeah, really fun match. This was great. Zack Sabre Jr. is a flipping star, and all the chanting that people he started stomping on Ishii in tune with the FU Sabre chants.
Let's go, Zach.
While he's giving the middle finger.
Well, here's the difference between Cody in terms of being top heel in New Japan versus Zach, where Cody is pretty much unanimous booze.
Yeah.
Whereas Zach will get his fair share of heel heat, but it'll always be countered by people who just appreciate his wrestling. Oh, so there was FU Sabre, let's go, Zach, back and forth. And it was super loud.
Yeah.
I feel like everybody in the arena was at least saying one of the two.
Because his wrestling is next level.
I know.
It is next level.
And if this is just a small slice what we're going to get for the main event of Sakura Genesis,
it's going to be off the hook.
Fantastic.
It's going to be fantastic.
And I don't know why Suzuki and Ishii aren't getting into a feud right now either.
Oh my God, I know. Every time they were in the ring together, I was like, have we seen this before? Can I go back and watch this?
Well, I'm sure they've wrestled before, yeah.
I'm sure they have.
That one.
But I want a fresh feud over the IC title.
I know. That one segment where they were hitting each other with elbows and the whole building would get quiet. So you can hear
elbows
on be like, flesh. Oh my gosh.
Oh, it was great.
That first one Suzuki gave Ishii sound like someone hitting a turkey with a baseball bat.
Yeah, man, it was devastating. It was all good stuff. Suzuki Gun went over.
Yep.
Which, if you do the math, means obviously.
Yeah. Okada's Zach made Ishii, or they stopped the match after Zach put Ishii in some sort of crazy hold.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Next for the U.S. title, Jay White versus Hangman Page. It's kind of a bummer this match had to follow the previous one because the previous one was the crowd was super into it.
Yeah.
And they were kind of cool on this one, and both of them tried. It got off to a slow start, and I just don't know if people were just into the match, period. They tried. They were dropping each other in each other's heads left and right.
Yeah, I know. You need more than that. I think people are at a weird spot with the United States title in general.
Mm-hmm.
Jay White is a fantastic young worker who seems to be saddled with a gimmick that doesn't really fit.
I know. It seems like someone more grizzled and older should have that.
Right?
Someone leathery.
Yeah. Like, if they had I'll put it this way. Well, that's not even.
Imagine if Lance Archer had that gimmick.
Somebody who even looks the part. Yeah, that would have been cool. And this kind of counters my point because Sonata's a young guy. Imagine Sonata with a Switchblade gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
That would really fit because he looks the type.
Yeah.
Jay White just doesn't look the type.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And yeah, he needs that. But I mean, at least Sonata is a very imposing presence.
Mm-hmm.
Jay White really kind of isn't.
Not really.
You know? That being said, he's a terrific worker. These guys work their butts off. And
he's still young. He can still grow into the role.
Oh, yeah. And I hope he does.
Yeah,
I hope he sticks with it. So I watched this up in the concourse because my back was killing me.
Yeah, same here.
So I went up there and, you were up in the concourse too?
Yeah.
Oh, what a bummer. We didn't link
up. We were
up.
Kind of opposite sides of the arena though.
Oh, what a drag. Anyways, what I saw of this match, I really enjoyed. I really enjoyed it. I understand because there really isn't a lot of, I think the problem is because both these guys are relatively young, neither of them have like a big backstory with each other or.
Well, the impetus for the story was more Kenny Omega.
Right, no, exactly.
Than anybody else, you know?
Yeah. So I think just the lack of build, the lack of history between the two of them kind of overshadowed the fact that they're actually terrific athletes and they can do a lot of stuff. And they're also not. New Japan has like next level storytellers.
Yeah.
And they're not there yet. Not to say that they can't be or they won't be, but they're just not there yet. That's why when you mix, you know, an older guy, like if it was Suzuki versus Jay White, that's a match that I would love to see.
Mm-hmm.
To see what kind of dynamics. There's all sorts of different dynamics that you can get out of that match.
Yeah.
But two younger guys fighting over a belt that
Is really new.
Itself is really, exactly. Yeah. So it's like, I think people just don't really get, how are we supposed to approach this match in terms of our emotional state?
Yeah.
That's kind of important in New Japan.
Yeah, it is. Jay White goes over, hits Hangman with his finisher afterwards. David Finley comes out, spears Jay White, challenges him.
Another guy we're not really sure exactly how to.
Now, think about it now. I wish they had, instead of Finley, they had picked his tag team partner from the night.
Juice, yeah. Yeah.
He's nothing against David Finley, but he wrestles not very often, usually in tag matches early on the show.
Or he's like going over Young Lions.
Yeah.
He's like a gatekeeper for Young Lions.
Whereas I know Juice has a decent following.
I thought they were going to push Juice like 6 months ago.
I know, me too. I
thought he was going to get that Never Overweight title. Mm-hmm. Never
Open
Weight.
Open.
Oh, man. Next up.
Main event. Golden Lovers versus the Young Bucks.
I can't say enough great things about this match. besides like the, you know,
the time Kota Ibushi tried to kill himself almost. Yeah,
exactly. But then there was the time that Kota Ibushi just saved three lives also.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was great too.
Oh yeah.
This match was storytelling at its finest.
Mm-hmm.
The story that was that built to this match was so well, has been so well executed. This match lived up to that and exceeded that and has turned this angle. If it wasn't already the hottest angle in wrestling, it definitely is now.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. So much great stuff to love about this match.
Yeah, apparently they didn't show the spot on the televised edition of when they do in the double golden triangle moonsaults. Kenny hit his. Kota missed the top, what's the bar that goes from the ring post, the turnbuckle. Looks like he got his foot, if I remember correctly, got his foot caught on it and tumbled to the floor. Look like almost landed on his head.
Yeah.
He tries to save the spot. There's miscommunication, I think, with Matt.
I think it was
before
Matt,
finally hit something where he kind of does a judo throw on him on the floor, and then afterwards they do the spot where Kenny does the you can't escape spot, where he does the rolling senton, goes for the moonsault. But before that, Kota does the shooting star press standing one. As Kota's getting out of the way, Kenny goes for the moonsault. They hit heads. Mm-hmm. By how Kenny hurt his eye,
and Kota had a busted lip, I think.
Yeah. But after, you know, it seemed like Kota was kind of shook for a little bit based on, you know, that spill.
Mm-hmm.
But as the match continued, I was worried he got hurt.
Yeah, I know.
But as the match continued, it seemed like he got into a better rhythm, and they were hitting all sorts of crazy spots. He powerbombed Nick through the tables ringside.
Right.
And then Matt dropped an elbow on Kenny through another table on the opposite side of the ring.
Yeah.
It was just physical and grueling. It went, basically 40 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was ridiculous.
No, it was a beautiful story.
In the end, Golden Lovers go over with a Golden Trigger on Matt. Oh, that great spot where Kenny has Matt up for a One Winged Angel and he can't do it.
He's emotionally can't do it.
And Matt takes Kenny's arm and puts it behind his head, and Kenny's like, "All right, fine,
yeah,
I'll do it."
Yeah,
just some great stuff.
Oh, it was fantastic. It was really great. In the end, Cody comes in, pushes down Nick. I think Kenny makes the save.
He helps Nick up.
Mm-hmm.
He offers his hand to Matt, and Matt does not accept.
Well,
it.
I think
rolls
him
out
and Nick, I think, hug or shake or
yeah,
hands
yeah.
or something like that. And then he offers the same to Matt, and Matt's not having it. So again, more complexities,
mm-hmm.
more divisions within the Bullet Club. You've got a lot of moving parts, and it's all being told really, really well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was a fantastic show. In the end, I'm very happy I went.
Good
for that main event alone. But at the Cow Palace, we're going to do our damnedest to get front row.
Yeah.
And because I know front row will probably have seat backs.
Yes.
But I'm excited. I've never been to the Cow Palace before.
Nor have I. So I'm excited to go as well.
Has a fantastic history of professional wrestling.
That it does.
Anyways, that's it for the show. We don't have time for questions. Oh, we're
no, we got plenty of time.
Oh, okay. Cool. I put up a question.
Oh, we have plenty of time for questions. Okay, I guess so.
Wait, what's that?
No, I said we have plenty of time for the show. That's what I meant. Or do you want to do questions?
Oh, okay. Let's just answer a couple.
We'll do a couple.
Because I put them out there.
All right. That's fair. I'm not going to complain about it.
It's just more ads we can put in.
All right. We got to find them. This is all dead air, Steve. Come on.
Well, you're yapping away. Just keep on yapping away.
Oh, okay. Yapping away. Yeah, Cow Pal. Should be fun. Can't wait.
Here we go. Look at that.
La Parca.
Little gif of La Parca.
From one of the video games. What video game is that from? Or is that from a video game?
No, it's from a video game,
yeah.
Probably with like one of the GameCube ones or PS1s or something. Mikey Omega, which members of the Bullet Club have the high? Oh, by the way, Mikey Omega is the moderator, the creator of the Friendoverse closed Facebook group.
Yes.
If you like the Facebook, which those numbers seem to be dwindling these days, hop on there and search Friendoverse. It's a closed group. Ask for permission to hop in. It's a great, very positive group.
Yes.
If you're a jerk, you're not allowed in.
Yes.
Let's keep it positive. If you act like you're cool and then it turns out you are a jerk, you will be kicked out. He has kicked out people, and I love that because
yes.
No jerks allowed.
Let's just be cool.
Yeah. Anyways, he asks which members of Bullet Club have the highest ceiling if they were to get signed with WWE. He says he feels like it's Marty because he has a great character and WWE would never let Kenny or the Bucks wrestle the way they can and should. Highest ceiling, I think, would be Kenny. I think Kenny could adapt.
Yeah.
But I think Marty would do really well as well.
Yeah, I think Marty would do well too. I mean, Cody would do well. He's already had great success in WWE as well.
Yeah. Nathan Raglan, what's the biggest regret you guys have had about going in Raw since you started it?
We didn't do it sooner.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. I don't really have, like, there was a spell where I was like, should we have changed count out from the scripted stand-up thing to the podcast thing because it did really gangbuster numbers? So every once in a while, I'll question that stuff.
Yeah, that's fair.
Part of me thinks that we should have just stuck with W. Steve W. and fun wrestling for 2K18 instead of going into Bad and Rad. But
yeah,
that's who cares? Like, it's such a who cares thing. I don't know. I really have no regrets. Things have been great so far.
Oh, yeah. Overall, things have been fantastic.
Yeah. Let's see here. Toka Lurker. Do you think anything will change with the WWE product if they move from USA to Fox Sports? Oh, that was an interesting in the newsletter.
Hmm.
How they said that I guess both NBC Universal and
they were reducing their commercial time.
Fox are reducing their commercial time and just charging more premium,
more per ad.
More per ad, yeah.
Here, I got it too. I'll find some questions.
Okay. Oh, this is great. Greg Morris. What is the best hype video for a match ever? He says he likes Rock Austin 2 for Mania 17. Funny he mentioned that, because somebody put, that's the My Way or the Highway one. Somebody mentioned that on Twitter not too long ago, so I looked at it just yesterday, and I have to say it's the best.
Oh, yeah.
Freaking brilliant. That song, like, say what you will about Limp Bizkit, that is a damn fine song, especially for a wrestling build. So I would say that.
Jason Lewis, every takeover paired with a Big Four pay-per-view seems to have been better than the main show. Do you think Vince notices or cares?
No. I think he thinks, and I think properly, that they're two completely different animals.
Mm-hmm.
NXT does something. I mean, if you think it's better, that's fantastic. I personally, in my brain, I kind of separate the two, so I don't really say, oh, one is better than the other.
Yeah.
NXT generally has better wrestling, and I'm a huge fan of NXT.
Yeah.
So I might find it more enjoyable, but I really enjoy the spectacle of the Big Four as well.
Casey Charles, are you going to be covering more of New Japan Pro Wrestling? We'd really like to.
It's just a time issue.
It's hard to keep up with everything.
It's really difficult. There's so many titles. There's so much stuff going on.
Well, I think also...
The time
last year we said, okay, major shows we're going to do videos on. So Wrestle Kingdom, Dominion, a couple other things.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really hoping that we'd be able to cover more this year. It just hasn't really worked out.
Yeah.
But, you know, for sure we'll do a Dominion video.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the second largest show of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll probably do another one for the G1.
We'll probably talk about, like, we like, for even for the big shows that we don't watch, we find out what happens and then we cover that usually on the Monday following. Mm-hmm. So like Sakura Genesis. It's Saturday night. I don't really have anything going on Sunday. So, I mean, I think it's Easter.
Yeah, it is Easter.
But my parents are gone, so I don't know if we're doing anything. So I might stay up for a good chunk of that. I mean, it all depends on how rested I am.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless, we'll talk about what happened on Monday.
Yeah, yeah. Oscar Silva, what is the ceiling for TM61? Well, I think it's really high.
It's super high. It's like Raw tag team champions.
Mm-hmm.
If A, they stay healthy, and B, creative doesn't bury them.
Yeah.
Mergen asks, what WWE match do you see being the best coming out of Mania weekend? His money's on Gargano Ciampa. So take NXT, take WWE. What match? Like the odds on favorite, I think you mentioned it, and then I mentioned this one, the IC ladder match. And,
well, wait for TakeOver.
I'm sorry, the IC triple threat. No, between TakeOver and Mania.
Okay.
The IC triple threat, AJ Nakamura, Charlotte Asuka, the Cruiserweight, and probably the North American ladder match, just because it's the lineup is so weird.
Oh, stacked.
It's weird. I'm also interested in the Dusty Rhodes Classic at TakeOver.
Oh, yeah, the actual
title match, yeah.
John Adams, could you see Cass coming back and winning the Andre Battle Royal? Could Awoken Bray Wyatt possibly help Matt Hardy win the match?
Both of those are possibilities, yeah.
Yep.
Chris Gazak, what's something you guys feel the need to accomplish in the future because you've both lived a true wrestling bucket list? What's left on your bucket list?
The only thing left is Wrestle Kingdom.
Front Row at Mania, he mentions this here. Front Row at Mania and Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah.
and putting up the H title or the Going In Raw title at a real wrestling show?
Gigabyte, fantasy book All In if Bullet Club completely splits and feuds.
Oh, man. Well, what, when is Kenny facing Cody?
Next weekend. Supercard of Honor.
Oh, that's right. That's the Supercard of Honor. Okay.
But that might just be the first in three matches. I wouldn't be surprised if All In is a blow-off.
Yeah, okay.
Between the two of them.
Fine. Kenny, Cody.
With CM Punk taking off the Barry, the drug-free Barry, yes, outfit to help Kenny win.
Yeah. Who would Marty fight?
In Bullet Club?
You know what would be fun? So I know the Young Bucks are going to be going over the heavyweight stuff. It'd be fun if they did like just some singles stuff, like Marty versus Nick.
Mm-hmm.
That would be interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've seen them wrestle like singles in them at all, maybe. Yeah.
Matt versus Hangman Page or something like that.
Yeah, that'd be cool, right?
Who
done.
Else?
Good.
Who else?
Good for us.
All right, fine. We're done, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. Chase Owens versus, I don't know, Kota Ibushi.
All right.
There you go. Let's see here. Oh, Colt Mallett. What amount of confidence points would you give to the American Badass Taker coming down the ramp at Mania?
Five.
Out of what?
10.
Yeah, okay. That sounds about right. And we'll leave on this one. No, hold on a second. We will leave on... Wow, what are you like?
No, it's kind of petering out.
I know, right?
No, you said we were leaving on one. We got to leave on one.
I know, exactly. I can't just say we're good.
Let's go all the way at the bottom and see if there's something good there.
Okay. This has to be a killer question now that I've like.
I know the anticipation is it's too much, killing me. Come on!
All right, I'm just gonna pick one random. Here we go. Oh, perfect. Anthony Matute, how stupid is Dolph in kayfabe for giving up the U.S. title just to end up in the Battle Royal? The answer is all the stupid.
All the stupid.
That's what he is. Thanks so much for watching. We appreciate it. Till next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Goodbye.